Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Many thanks for joining us here on Monday, the 28th of the month. 75 years ago today, March 28th, 1941, heavy equipment crews started clearing a huge swath of land near Ypsilanti. With a deadly air war raging in Europe, the U.S. began work on a massive bomber plant that came to be known as Willow Run. It was the largest aircraft manufacturing facility ever built.
Thousands of skilled workers were employed, pouring 100,000 yards of concrete, erecting 38,000 tons of structural steel, setting 10 million bricks, fitting miles of piping, and running more miles of electric cable to operate the thousands of machines that were to be installed in this truly giant structure.
Willow Run churned out one B-24 bomber an hour. At its peak, it employed 42,000 people, one-third of them women. Now, Willow Run is being repurposed for a new mission. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now to explain. Kevin, what could possibly carry on the Willow Run legacy?
Mark, the very thing that built this state, cars. Driverless cars and connected vehicle technology is really taking off, especially in the Ann Arbor area. Last week, the state of Michigan awarded some seed money to the American Center for Mobility, which will test those vehicles at Willow Run. Given this recent news and the anniversary of the plant's beginnings, as you talked about, I thought I would take a look at Willow Run then and now. The last time I visited the site, I spoke with Randy Houghton with the Yankee Air Museum, and we climbed aboard a huge but very cramped vintage bomber plane.
We're coming back to the back door here where the crew would enter the airplane, unlike the Hollywood movie where they chin themselves on the nose turret and pull themselves in. And we're looking in the back here. You can see the waist gunner positions, the ball turret position, and you can see the Spartan complex that these crew members lived in. There was no heat in this airplane. They'd go to 30,000 feet where the temperature would be a minus 70 degrees with wind whipping through the airplane. And they had to wear electric underwear. That's how they kept themselves warm. And throughout the airplane, you'll find these outlets with rheostats by them where guys could plug their underwear in and adjust the temperature so they could survive in that harsh environment. Frostbite was the most common injury on this airplane. This is for 19-year-old boys who are 135 pounds and as limber as a piece of wet spaghetti. But you kind of go down the steps, sit on the seat, and then get on your hands and knees, and you crawl forward.
All of this at 28,000 feet.
Yeah. With seven layers of clothing on, and a walk-around bottle, because you got to be hooked up to oxygen the whole time. You'll pass out in a minute if you're not hooked up to the oxygen. When the first units went over to Europe, they had never even flown at altitude. Curtis LeMay, one of the first bomber groups to go over there, his guys had no experience at high altitude when they were going over there. So this was all a learning experience to make these bombers effective.
Now, in a new century, a new high-tech fleet will soon patrol the old runways of Willow Run. The historic aircraft plant once operated by Henry Ford is going back to its automotive roots. Willow Run will be the new home of the American Center for Mobility. John Maddox is its CEO.
We're very honored to be following up 75 years later with working on a new innovation, a new technology of automated vehicles and connected vehicles.
Tell me something about the vision of the American Center for Mobility. What's the underlying goal of this new facility?
I'd say there are two underlying goals with this new facility. One of them is to accelerate the deployment of these connected and automated vehicle technologies because they potentially will bring us great value in our transportation system. If you think about our system today, it's worked for about the last 100 years and it's served us pretty well, but we have imperfections, things like congestion, traffic jam, crashes, wasted energy. These new technologies might help us envision a new transportation system for the next 100 years, one with far fewer crashes, with far less congestion, far less wasted energy, and perhaps maybe even more importantly, also with freeing up a little bit of our time during our morning commute. The other underlying, call it value proposition, is to do that, many companies, both in the automotive and the technology worlds, need a place where they can come and really test their vehicles through those validation phases in a safe manner. without doing it on public streets, at least in addition to doing it on public streets. So the facility will serve those companies and those industries and those government entities that are working on this future transportation system.
And what makes the Willow Run complex an ideal location for this type of testing? How do the stars align so that this can happen?
I think the most important thing about the location is the fact that it's in the heart of the auto industry, Southeast Michigan particularly, but Michigan in general. There's no option like it in the world of activity around connected and automated vehicles, particularly around the validation and verification of those. The other reason that the stars align here at Willow Run is that, again, this facility has this history of innovation. It also has an existing well-built and well-constructed infrastructure. For example, it's quite a large site. It's got roughly about 330-some acres, a large portion of which is a huge concrete slab that the plant was sitting on for the last 75 years. We can use that concrete slab as the foundation, if you will, for the new road surfaces we put on top of it. In addition, the site is served by very large roadways with highway-like on-ramps and off-ramps and overpasses that we can utilize for the site. If we had to go and build those new, it would double, triple, even quadruple the cost of such a facility. But the fact is, it's already built here in Michigan and is right now sitting fallow, so we're going to take advantage of that.
We're talking with John Maddox, who is the newly named CEO of the brand new American Center for Mobility, which will be located at the Willow Run site near Ypsilanti. This will be a place for driverless and connected vehicle technology. Last Tuesday, a key part of this whole process fell into place. The Michigan Strategic Fund Board authorized a $3 million grant for the center. That's only part of the funding you'll need. I understand there's another $17 million that will be requested. What's the $3 million for?
You could look at it as our seed funding. With that, we will get the design and the acquisition of the land underway. Right now, the land is owned by another entity, and we're looking at, the state is looking at doing its due diligence to work towards the purchase of the property that we will build the site on.
What is driving driverless vehicles? Are we moving away from, you know, the gee whiz factor? We have the ability. Let's tinker with this. Are we moving toward a situation where there's a recognized need to have this type of technology on our highways?
I think that we are. The product development process is happening very, very rapidly with automated and connected vehicles moving towards driverless. We have a small scale version of this operating in Ann Arbor now. On the campus of University of Michigan, we call it M-City. We opened M-City last July 2015, and it has been under very high demand since then. So we know firsthand the some of the needs for the development community in testing and evaluating their potential products, their future products. But we also know that M-City doesn't have all of the scenarios, is not big enough to accommodate all of the testing that needs to go on. So we're very confident that building Willow Run, we will be able to serve a much larger portion of those testing needs here in Michigan.
So here's the question that I really want to ask you, Mr. Maddox, and I imagine you've probably heard it before. A computer knows how to respond to a scenario. Its programming says, oh, okay, I've seen this happening in my programming. I've seen what an icy road is all about. I'll respond like this. But a computer does not make decisions. A computer does not have instinct like a human driver. A human driver might be in a situation where they're sliding or something and they're forced to choose, well, do I hit this tree or this mailbox or this person? A human being has to make a value judgment. What do you say about that?
I think that you've hit on a very difficult task for any company or any individual or organization that is creating these products. We as humans are actually pretty good drivers. We get a bad rap. You know, people think, and it is correct that we do, human error contributes to 90%+ of the crashes in the country. However, on the other hand, we drive on average 100 million miles in between fatal crashes. So humans are actually pretty good. And we're also, as you allude to, pretty good about making snap decisions in very unusual situations. We get trained as part of our driver education from a very young age to identify, hey, this doesn't look quite right. And we get trained in how to react to emergency situations, and we're generally pretty good at it. So I don't have a silver bullet answer for you on how automated vehicles will be trained to make value judgment. I think perhaps a way forward is to think about how humans react in those situations and have the human programmer, if you will, make a decision for that robot and program that decision in. But by no means is that an easy approach. It's not a simple answer, and there's a lot of work to be done still for that.
So that tells me then that the computer is not going to supersede the human being anytime soon.
I think that it's fair to say that the majority of automated vehicle decision-making will be programmed into the computer ahead of time by a human, at least right now. The artificial intelligence piece, the machine learning piece, that's still many, many years off.
So what's your timetable now? What's next in the works for the American Center for Mobility? When can we expect to see the next chapter being written?
Well, we are, of course, quite busy this year. I'll call it kind of a planning year. We're shooting for some sort of groundbreaking in 2017.
John Maddox is the CEO of the American Center for Mobility, which is to be situated at the Willow Run Complex near Ypsilanti. Again, that's the historic site of World War II bomber aircraft production. Mr. Maddox, thank you so much, and best of luck with this new endeavor. It sounds exciting.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.